I've never joined a company that a sales rep didn't say something like, I don't have time to update the CRM. It just, you need to, right. like they want, I think they want us to predict like how they think, and they ask, like they think that we will update the system for them. No, but actually here it's like they're super supportive. Like, well, I joined at a very early stage, so I earned their trust very early, and we were a small team. And now as we're growing, they got used to the process. And if we are changing, and now we are going to change the process a little bit because we have the data and we saw that as we grow, we must modify a bit the methodology and also improve like the qualification criteria and such. So we're doing it together. And I think this is what's nice. So we're not, it's not me against them or me doing for something for them. We are doing it together. So they are part of the Tools POC.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed. During each episode, we're diving headfirst into conversations with some of the most incredible RevOps leaders out there. Not CEOs, not big flashy executives, not vendors. We're talking to the people who are actually doing the work, the ones leading teams, the ones in the trenches, grinding it out every single day. We're taking things up a notch, getting deeper, having more fun, and as always, keeping it real. Remember our theme, RevOps Unboxed, and today we're unboxing it all. Let's get started. Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Robinson here with another episode of RevOps Unboxed. I am really excited today to talk to Lior Spira, who is the Director of Revenue Operations at BlinkOps. Lior, thanks so much for joining me today. I've been really anticipating this discussion. I know it's been hard for us to schedule, but thanks for jumping on with me today.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for inviting me. I'm super excited. And yeah, I was looking forward to have a conversation with you for quite a while now. So yeah, thank you again.
Awesome. I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness. I would love for you to tell me a little bit about your background and how you kind of got to where you are.
Oh, okay. So this is quite of a interesting story, I would say. I started actually as a lawyer. I studied law, and yeah, my family, my dad especially, yeah, he wanted me to be a lawyer. But after passing the bar exam and my internship, I've decided to shift my career, and I started working at a nonprofit organization helping youth in distress. And I was part of the marketing team. And I was responsible not just for the marketing initiatives of the NPO, but also, for building the operational projects or I was responsible for the operational side of everything that was related to the department. And I think this is where I found myself quite interested or, you know, excited of doing something that is related to operating something like projects, right? And project management. I think also being a lawyer and an intern and working in a law firm, we were super focused on operations as well. So it was, I think looking back, it makes sense, my path. And then I studied, I enrolled to my graduate studies. I was studying strategy, marketing, and government. And I think this is when I've decided to shift my career again. And like, I wanted to serve the world and help youth in distress, but I was young and I wanted to build my career. So I joined actually an American enterprise, a company that opened the first branch in Israel. And I was part of a team that started to build the business in EMEA together with other executives that they hired from HP. And this is where I've actually I was hired to be part of the global marketing team, but as part of the branch operations, I was responsible for everything related to sales, supporting sales, sales operations and such, and analytics as well. And I think from then I just realized that, yeah, marketing was super interesting. I did a lot of marketing operations and sales operations, but back then there were no specific titles like that. Like, I'm talking about 15 years ago, right? And then I shifted to other companies. I was part of a sales operations department. Then I've built and established 4 departments, including the one that I'm the company that I work today, of sales and marketing operations, and then revenue operations. When pre-COVID, we started talking about like RevOps. What does it mean? Like how we should align and break the silos, not just with the go-to-market teams, but also build a holistic team of all the operational functions, right? And yeah, and actually last year I also started advising startups, so I'm a consultant as well, as I truly believe in the mission and vision of revenue operations, on how it's how it should be as an org, how it should support the go-to-market team and other teams at the company, like product, finance, sometimes even R&D and such. And yeah, and this is what brought me here today to just, I don't know, to support the movement, the mission, the change management that, you know, if back then there were no marketing and sales operations positions, now everyone is talking about it, but nobody really understands what it means, right? Or how it should be implemented at a startup or a larger organization. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. I want to first call something out. You know, everybody gets to RevOps in a different path, because as you mentioned, it's kind of an emerging, even still, like, you know, just pre-pandemic, it was kind of becoming more of a thing. And now it's really a focus, particularly with PE firms and things like that, on getting RevOps right. And folks like me, like, I've been doing this as long as you. You know, I started on the sales side. Some people start in the, you know, finance world, accounting or analyst type of world, or admin. You were a lawyer. That is so cool. That is so cool that you did that. But what I love about all of this is your appreciation, one, for education, I would imagine, and two, just the background that you have, you know, like you said, kind of leading you up to RevOps, that gives you such a great background and foundation, and how everything, I think, ties together when you think about the full customer journey, and then this idea of RevOps being a movement. I love that. So tell me, I just wanted to call that out, because I think it's awesome. And thank you for sharing a little bit about your background. Tell me what you're doing today at BlinkOps.
Oh, so I joined Blink a year ago, even a year and 2 months, I think, initially to build, first to build the foundations of the go-to-market strategy, like focusing on the best practice and making sure that we build something lean and smooth, so we can later on grow together with the processes and with the data. I think this is the first time, by the way, that I'm joining around a startup, meaning I think we were back then a year ago between 30 to 40 employees. Go-to-market was, I guess, maybe 10, 12 people, right? From marketing, sales, and customer success, including sales engineer. We didn't have an SDR even. So, and then I joined, we had no leaders, right? So because one of the things that I loved about BlinkOps, and my manager, who's one of the co-founders, is that they believed in building the infrastructure together with the team, with the organization. So we've built the processes, we brought and built the tech stack, but tried to optimize it in a way that we will not, you know, exaggerate with bringing all the tools. Like, we need to bring just the must-haves and then have the infrastructure for the data. We are data-driven, by the way, fast forward to today, and we are trying to not just make decision based on data, but also to build the organization based on the data and based on the targets that were set for the company and for the go-to-market organization. And yeah, so what we've been doing basically in the past year and now, as we're growing, now we are more than 70 employees and we're still okay. growing. So, and we do aim to achieve like the 100 more or less employees by the end of the year. So we're focusing, so we have the infrastructure, we have everything. So we are trying now to scale with a 360 customer overview to make sure that we're not just building a single source of truth, which is CRM Salesforce, together with mm-hmm. the HubSpot as marketing automation, but also making sure that we are onboarding and training all the teams, marketing, sales, and customer success to work within one system. Of course, we will bring the necessary tools to make sure that they can provide the data to analyze the 360 customer performance and efficiency. But basically what we want to do and want to achieve is to make sure that we understand like how our customers behave, or even before, like how we are bringing, like how we're building the top of the funnel. And when we create the opportunity and start the POC, sometimes we even bring customer success before we close the deal so they can be part of the discussions. And this is how we are trying to reduce the friction when they're in the handover process. Mm-hmm. And once it's a closed one, actually we just build and finalize the data infrastructure, and we are bringing the customer product usage to Salesforce, at least the aggregated metric to make sure that that they can have the visibility on how the customer is, their customers are doing, and also not just for the customer success, also for the sales, to make sure that we can flag accounts at risk. And we're also utilizing, by the way, the health module, not just for the customer health, but also for mm-hmm. opportunities. So we can see even during the POC, when we have the product data, like how they are doing with the product, how they are executing, and if they can be a risk for either winning or losing the deal, or, you know, when customers to churn and such.
Wow. Okay. This is awesome. I want to dive a little bit more into the customer 360 and how you're kind of bringing some of that information in. But I want to step back one second. So you came in as in a Series A situation here. It sounds like even before, it's still founder selling motion. So even before, you know, a CRO has brought in, they've brought in RevOps. And this, I just want to highlight here the importance of this, because I think companies are recognizing the need to bring in RevOps even earlier yeah. than maybe a couple of years ago. It's like, oh, well, let's wait till Series B or C. And then at that point, you're coming in and already fixing a mess. I've been in that situation, and it doesn't take that long. So, it sounds like you've really had the opportunity to truly kind of start from scratch. You know, as you're now a little bit over a year. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Role?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've doubled employee count. You've put in Salesforce, it sounds like. Was there anything existing when you took over?
No. So I built everything from scratch, and this was fun. I did it in my previous company as well, but I also worked at companies that we had, like I joined a team or either joined a company as the first team member, and then I build or rebuild everything, but had a mess already in the company. I had to fix everything, you know, not just the data, but also everything related to that. But yes, here we've built everything from scratch. Like we brought like the CRM, so everything was clean. We've built the processes, or at least started with, even if the methodology or the guidelines were super lean, we started with something that is like super simple. And then we started bringing the tools. And
core tools that you brought in? So you don't have to, I mean, you can certainly name the name, but like it, from your perspective, bringing in, you know, obviously you don't want to, you're not going to bring in, you know, 10 different tools, but what are the, you know, you have to have, and, you know, you got right to it, obviously Salesforce, being your CRM, but what were the other critical tools that you brought in?
So we started with the Salesforce as the CRM, and this is how I usually plan the tech stack, because if Salesforce is the main platform, I need to bring tools that not just can integrate with it, but also make sure that the integration is smooth and the data structure would be easy to use. So we start with that. We have HubSpot as the marketing automation, and we're building like we're managing marketing top of the funnel there. And then we move forward in the funnel to Salesforce when it's an MQL. We also have ZoomInfo, MixMax for sales engagement, which is really cool. And the team is enjoying to manage the sequences and the engagement that they have with the prospect. We also have Chorus as the conversation intelligence to make sure that we have the data that we need and the visibility that we can give, not just, by the way, the go-to-market, but also other teams like product to learn about the opportunities, but yet again, also how they use or the feedback from POC or as customers. We also have SalesNav, LinkedIn, which is actually we started working on that last year, but now we are upgraded to business accounts. So, and I've used it in previous companies as well. So they have really cool features. What else am I missing?
Any forecasting? Are you using in Chorus
Not yet. So okay. So we're around A. So we have like we don't have tons of customers yet. We are growing with ARR. We do use pipeline inspection of Salesforce, and we have like we're building our sales forecast in a lean way. That usually what we do right now is using a forecast score, a subjective score that the AEs are providing based on the relationship that they have with the customers. I assume that at some point we will bring a much more advanced forecast tool to help us with that. We do have in Chorus, we have like pipe management, and we are going, this is one of the projects for next year, for the beginning of next year, because the year is ending, to utilize better or to optimize the data that we get or we sync into Chorus to make sure that we can use like the trackers or anything else that we can get there to manage our forecast in a better way, or at least get some more insights. We are going to improve also so lead scoring. We're using it like in a very, very also lean and simple way, but we are going to improve it. I do believe, by the way, that we should use tools. There's no need to build like very complex calculator to like we did in the past, or I did even in the past in the previous companies. Actually, HubSpot now they're offering a really cool solution in their platform based on the behavior. If you are upgrading your subscription, to utilize the data in both Salesforce and HubSpot to do that. We're also, by the way, managing campaigns in Salesforce, so we can also see metrics and analytics on, because we are heavily investing in events, and we see how the efforts that we're putting, not just from the marketing side, the sales side, are there. And I assume also in the future we'll bring like a tool for quote management, like CPQ and such. We are using something like a custom solution that we build in Salesforce. We're not even integrating. We are still small in a way that we are not even integrating an ERP system. So we built some of the infrastructure right now in the CRM, but we to have some visibility, but we are, and I think this is one of the perks of joining like a small startup round A, even if you have like more than 10 years experience in your career. Like it can be very simple at first, but you're building on the infrastructure right now. So once you start the integration with the heavy tools, right, it will be easier and you already have the data and the visibility. So it's like, you don't need to clean it later. And and making sure that everything aligns, you know, especially with finance and sales or even customer success, right? So,
yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, it because it's always a conundrum if you're a startup and it's like, do I want to hire somebody with all this experience like Lior? Because obviously that's an investment for the company, right? Because people like you and me and others, you know, have some experience. And the benefit to that is you get that insight, right? Yeah. So you're setting this up, you've kind of seen what happens, and you know, you have to set things up for the fact that you're going to have customers that renew, that are going to scale and grow. And those critical decisions up front, even just as simple as, okay, I'm gonna get a tool like Chorus. How does that integrate? How does that work with your systems? Or, you know, this setup from HubSpot to Salesforce, getting that stuff dialed in now and getting the process and the integrations to where, like you said, they're simple, making those decisions is critical for, you know, just, you know, rapid growth, hyper growth, which it sounds like you guys are getting to. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing all of that, because I think it's really important for people listening. As you are joining startups, these decisions are tough too. And you might have founders that have opinions or are using tools that they like because they have their little account that they like. And, you kind of have to come in and be tough, I think, as a RevOps leader and say, hey, you know, like, you brought me in for this reason. So this is how we need to do it in order to be successful down the road.
I think also, you know, when you join early, it gives, I think this is how you can build not just allies sooner, but you can also gain the trust sooner, because if you don't have the budget and you don't need it, like, and you have experience, it's like, you know what to, like, what are the must have tools and how to build it. And you can also plan like a really, really good budget and also deliver it fast and show like the co-founders or the other go-to-market leaders, right, how you deliver fast and without spending tons of dollars on tools, and how you can keep it optimized. And as you grow and you start to hear either the pain or the need that each user have, you know, to manage their own pipeline or their, like, to hit their own quota, right? You can prioritize based on that, and then it will be safer. But you already gain the trust of leadership, right, and management. And I think this is what helps you also be better at what you do, because even if you say no, right, which is I think this is the hardest or the toughest task that, or, you know, or that we need to do or say to, especially to management, right? Or when they have like a very, like a crazy, and again, we can be crazy as well, very innovative and creative, but they can be very crazy and want like to have something right now, but it doesn't make sense at all, you know, when you build a process, or you can see like two steps ahead and understand how it's going to ruin everything. But I think, yeah, when you join early and you bring like, you build a lean process and you build a lean tech stack and you bring the must have, this is how you gain the trust faster. And it will be easier, I think, later on, or at least this is how I feel in companies and even in startups that I consult. Eventually we are helping them. We like, our success is their success, the company's success. We are measured based on the other go-to-market users, right, and peers. and colleagues. And this is like, we are not everything that we build and everything that we deliver is not serving ourselves, like the RevOps department. We are providing services to the go-to-market organization. So it's just, it's,
well, I not think just it's services, but values. So
value. Yeah.
You know, think of valuation down the road. Having this scalable tech stack process, Everything working optimally just makes it that much more valuable when we're talking, sale down the road, IPO, Whatever it is. You're setting the team up for a higher valuation. And I'm going to have to find the article and put it in the show notes after, but I did read a story, I think it was in Forbes, I can't remember, just about a company who basically was able to get an additional million because they had Salesforce set up and optimize and like a killer RevOps team in place. And I think those are the things that you have to think about earlier. And I love that you're a year in and you've built this idea of a 360 customer overview that you started to talk about, where you're bringing in even the customer health. You're feeding it, sounds like, back to prospecting to help the prospecting effort. So tell me a little bit more about this 360 customer overview and what you're doing there.
So basically what we did is, or what we're doing is, we're designing the process in a way and the infrastructure in a way that all teams can have visibility on the customer. So my expertise is, the methodology that I love building is the ABX, account-based everything. So we're not just targeting accounts for marketing initiatives, but It's the account. It's for everyone, right? It is used for marketing initiative, for sales opportunities, and for customer success. And instead of just using especially in small startups, we don't need to bring the heavy tools for customer success and the external one, because usually this is where you can sometimes damage the data or actually block or like move out all customer success team outside of these the customer journey process, right?
And then you're talking about like bringing in, I won't name names, but bringing in a big customer success type of tool. Gotcha.
Correct. Because usually, first, they're expensive and we don't have the budget, and second, I think at early stage, managing customers is, it's not that complex. If you know how to use and how to leverage Salesforce, for example, you can do that in Salesforce. And even if you use Salesforce solutions or even bring an external one, that's fine. But if you build it right at first, you can have the 360 customer overview. So what we're doing right now is we are bringing our platform data. So we did some integrations with data warehouse, and we built we've defined the key metrics and everything that we need to make sure that we have the customer success team have visibility on the product usage. The same for the sales, to make sure if they are brought into the deal later on to manage upsells or other commercial discussions, they have visibility on that as well. And we don't need BI for that. Like, we don't need to bring another tool to summarize that. We just need to plan the infrastructure well. So we push the data, and based on that, we started defining and eventually we will manage. Now it's done a bit manual, but we will automate it once we have more the data, and we will see some trends and define what would be a bad behavior or a good behavior. And based on that, we're going to manage the account health, the customer health. We also have a visibility on LTV and other key metrics that are relevant, including some activities that we are summarizing. And based on that, we can well manage or at least flag account at risk and have a discussion on that to either avoid churn or to project churn. And this is how we're also managing this metrics with finance and how we deliver the data for the, not just to go to market for the company leadership, right? We're also utilizing, by the way, the same modules, not just for customer success. If we're building a 360 customer overview, we're also managing based on that, and we'll start building some solutions for opportunity health. So right now we're using what we can have, we're getting from Salesforce, right? And we have like very, very, we have like subjective score that we give based on the relationship and how the AE projects to close, if they close the deal or not. But we can utilize the same methodology in different touch points, right? So we don't have to invent it. This is, I think this is what's nice about building a 360 customer overview in one platform, because you can build and design a solution for one department, and then you can just copy paste it for to the other one. And this is how you build visibility, right, to the whole organization. So and eventually we will do the same with lead scoring, right? So we'll have like, we will manage health at every time, so we can not just project new business, but also churn, but also upsells, right? Or maybe cross sells, like how we're landing and expanding, how we can replicate success or avoid losing the success, etc. So this is what we're doing.
That's phenomenal. And I just like how you talked about, you know, repeating the process. So you're building it initially, but then you're implementing variations that, you know, for each one of the departments. And that really brings a lot of, I think, synergy to what you're doing. Yeah. And as you said, the visibility. How are the teams, the users, the managers, like, what do they think about all this? Are they like supportive, or, you know, I mean, salespeople are always going to be salespeople, but, you know, what's happening there with the managers and the users? Are they, I see you laughing. I know they love to give feedback, but, how's the adoption going?
Sales will always be sales. I've never joined a company that a sales rep didn't say something like, I don't have time to update the CRM. It just, you need to, right. I think they want us to predict like how they think, and they ask, like, they think that we will update the system for them. No, but actually hear it, like, they're super supportive. Like, well, I joined at a very early stage, so I earned their trust very early, and we were a small team. And now as we're growing, they got used to the process. And if we are changing, and now we are going to change the process a little bit because we have the data and we saw that as we grow, we must modify a bit the methodology and also improve like the qualification criteria and such. So we're doing it together. And I think this is what's nice. So we're not, it's not me against them or me doing for something for them. We are doing it together. So they are part of the tools POC. And this is how I've been treating the team at every company. It's not just, they don't like ask me to bring a specific tool. No. If they want to join POC, they can suggest their own tool that they are familiar with previous companies. That's fine. But I always try and test it. And again, I think it's also good for us and also good for them. We're all used to, if we are in the industry for more than 10 years, right? So we know like the basic, and usually we shift to between positions, right? And bring the same tech stack. But I think what I've learned in recent years is that I also have to be open-minded, and I can bring the same tools. Like, I'm sticking to the CRM, I'm sticking to the marketing automation, but I'm trying to bring different tools while I'm building the process just because first, technology is changing. Second, you know, we have AI, we have a lot of innovative and creative solutions that can support us, you know, better and faster than other tools that we're used to. And it's not that there are bad tools, it's just this is how technology evolves, mm-hmm. right? And how you see progress. And this is why I'm trying to involve them in the evaluation decision as well, because they get the opportunity to test the tool and realize or at least see like different features, different technologies. Mm-hmm. And I think the other team, so usually when, again, and this is, I think every RevOps, when we join it, a company, we usually start with marketing and sales. The customer success, sometimes, you know, are being, pushed, you know, to either end of year or the next one as, which is unfortunate. But if you can build like at least like a very, very simple and smooth process for all go-to-market teams, then customer success, for example, here right now, they're eager to start like utilizing Salesforce for them, like gain more visibility on what they're doing with their customers and not just working in different tools. And they are using Salesforce in a very simple way, but now we're going to upgrade that as well. And I think they also like they're trying to be very supportive in, even with their feedback. Like they understand. So I started the company, like when I joined, I was a one woman show. Now mm-hmm. I've hired a team member from my previous company, and I'm building more and I'm working with contractors and people that I trust and I worked mm-hmm. In the past. And I think this is how you see also how RevOps is growing in small startups, because when they see the value and they see the impact, they want to invest more in the data, right? And the tools. And the team, like the teams as well. Like again, sales would be sales. Sales engineers mm-hmm. would be sales engineers. Nobody wants to update the CRM, but they also understand that like policing is, it's not nice. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. They don't want, right. they don't want to be policed, and I don't want to be a police officer. Right. So they're trying like, yeah, I think we're improving. Mm-hmm.
It's a great approach. I think for people listening, just getting the team involved, especially in the selection process. And, you know, even if you don't go with whatever their first choice was, if they're part of the process and you are doing an objective evaluation, I mean, to your point, like a tool that I used 5 years ago, it looks 1,000 times different now. If it's still around, it's evolved. And I can think of actually two examples. I won't name the names of tools, but maybe I previously was like, ugh, I had a bad experience. That wasn't great. And then now it's like, wow, look what they've done. They've evolved. And so I think it's important to not have those biases, and it helps to bring other folks in to provide feedback. And then guess what? They become your subject matter experts when you go to roll it out, because it's not like we have the big teams. So, you know, you need people to help you train and help you get it rolled out and tell you when things are there's problems. So I love all that. You know, I think we could go on for days here, probably for hours and hours, but I would love to hear just in wrapping up, you know, some words of wisdom from you for RevOps folks, things they should always be thinking about, or I don't know if you have a mantra, but I'd love for you to share.
So I think I'm sharing this every time that either someone asks me a question or like what would be the best tip, or if I'm interviewing in podcasts. Like the first one would be saying no, which is, I think it becomes, it became the obvious actually, because, we should say no, but usually I cite, so I love the movie Mulan, and there is like a, as a war, like I see us as warriors sometimes, especially in the ecosystem, and especially how we saw, like, and we still see how revenue operations is not just evolving, but how the position or the concept or the movement on, or the change management is shifting from, you know, pre-pandemic to post-COVID to right now. And, you know, everybody wants to be productive and efficient. But I believe that if you want to be a great or an amazing revenue operations leader, you have to be loyal, brave, and true. So you have to be loyal to yourself and to the company. You have to be brave and state your mind if you need to say something. And if you, or if you don't agree with, professionally with a decision or a suggestion that even someone from management is saying, like, or asking you to do, again, you don't have to push back, but you have to just try to at least explain or deliver the message in a way that ethically serves your professional, actions, right? Mm-hmm. Or how you think, the way of thinking. And again, stay true to yourself. So truth is, I think this is what makes us the best, because we are using the data. We are delivering the message. We are delivering the business metrics, like the progress of the company, the success or the failure of the company. So if we are not true to ourselves or true to the company or telling the truth about what is really going on, and yet not just saying something like it's wrong or bad, but also bring a solution to the table, I think this is eventually how you can grow into like a very, very successful revenue operations leader and actually build a team that will serve the go-to-market organization, not just the sales team, the marketing, sales, and customer success, because all of them will see not just the value and the impact, but also how the type of a leader you are within the organization and how you actually break the silos and build a seamless process to help everyone like succeed. And I think this is how I see like revenue operations.
I can feel your passion here through the screen. I definitely agree with you, and I think this is a great way to wrap up. And I hope you've enjoyed this time with Lior, everybody. And Lior, I really appreciate you and everything you're doing for our industry, just empowering women. So I know this is a RevOps podcast, but I just love that you are a badass woman, standing this up, talking about these things. And just thank you for your time. And I will be chatting with you soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And yeah, go RevOps, I think.
All right. All right. Yeah. This has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed. Thanks for listening and tune in again. This has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. Until next time, keep unboxing.